Yo, Rob Harvilla from 60 Songs That Explain the 90s here to inform you that we are back with 30 more songs because the 90s were super long and had a ton of rad music. Please join us every Wednesday for more 60 Songs That Explain the 90s only on Spotify.
Psst. Hey, I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Oh, and welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Kate Hallowell.
I'm Kaya McMullen, filling in for Liz.
We miss you, Liz. And it's Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we're checking in with Cover Girls. I like that. John and Kate plus 8 update. I know everyone is on pins and needles. The movie Uptown Girls 19 years later.
Great stuff. Can't wait to get into it. Let's do it. First of all, we're checking in with Cover Girls, not, you know, the beauty line, loved by America's Next Top Model of years past. We're talking actual print media models, the celebrities that are on magazine covers this month.
Yeah.
Kaya,
gals
start us
who
off.
Are on covers.
Start us off with Hillary Duff for Women's Health.
Yeah, sure. So Hillary Duff posed naked on the cover of Women's Health. She looks incredible. Like,
yes.
She's just like in a pool. She's just like cupping her breasts. She's just very tan, very glowy.
She looks great.
And she looks great. And this is accompanied by a little profile. It's not very long. And they kind of just are interviewing her about like her body image and like her life after Lizzie McGuire. And she's talking about how she has done a lot of work to come to peace with her body, especially having 3 children. And it's like, that's great. I'm sure we all can do some work to come to peace with our bodies. But we have to stop acting like the super radical to come to peace with your body.
Yeah.
When you look incredible.
Right.
She looks great. She looks conventionally hot. Like,
right. Exactly. 100%.
She's also like always been like pretty jacked too. You know, like I remember like is it like the Sparks music video or whatever? She's in those shorts. And she's got like the Carrie Underwood legs. Like you've always had a rockin' bod.
That's so true.
Yeah. And like she's talked a little bit about how she like struggled with an eating disorder for a bit. And it's like, it sounds like she's recovered and like, that's great. But again, she worked with a trainer for a month to prepare for this shoot. She looks incredible. Let's not pretend.
Right.
Like it is super like...
groundbreaking.
They're also like very edited. You know, it's not like one of those. Again, great. Great, like it's fine.
Sure, whatever you want.
I also would be very much edited if I was doing this, but
100%.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not like it's one of those like no edits were made, like just a picture of.
Yeah. So, but yeah, and then another couple fun bits. She says that in their house they eat butter and olive oil and sodium and sugar, which
whoa,
I would hope so. I don't know
radical
what else
again.
And she's like. And then like, and as we're talking, she's enjoying a turkey pickle and arugula sandwich with a deviled egg on the side as a treat.
That's just a meal.
What a lucky gal. Yeah.
Pretty healthy. Eggs are not a high protein meal. Wow. Yeah. Radical stuff from Hillary Duff. But we stand. We stand.
We do.
All right. Next up, Dua Lipa is on the cover of Vogue this month. And listen, love Dua. We're getting a little haterific again on the top here. This is affectionate. This is with love. We just, you
it's
know,
just
love
that,
to nitpick.
Like celebrity profiles kind of suck most of the time.
Yeah. And this one, the profile was pretty boring. It was fine. It has one thing that I want to talk about. But Dua Lipa has a song early on in her career about how it's sort of like a subtweet at like the people who told her she wasn't a good model. And listen, Dua Lipa, great pop star, not a very good model. Like she's pretty boring on the page. Like she's a very, you know, conventionally beautiful and tall and stunning. But like she's never done a photo shoot where I've been like, you're a model.
Yeah,
you know?
Like her major pose for this was like sitting on a chair.
She's sitting and sometimes she wears great outfits. But again, like it's very much like go girl, give us nothing, you know, which is just her thing. So
that's funny.
Listen, she looks great on Vogue. But like I always think of that song where she's like, you told me I couldn't do this. And I'm always like, yeah. And like, can you, you know, like, and I'm glad she found her calling. But again, like she does not jump off the page to me as someone who loves her. However, I want to mention this profile was fine. You know, there were some fun stuff about how she likes tarot cards. She always does like these tarot readings when she's doing yoga and like how, you know, what it speaks to her about her life. I was like, okay, like the kooky stuff is kind of fun. But right at the end, they're talking about
this
Service 95 thing that she does, which is like her lifestyle site.
This is her pivot to activism.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
And yes. And I talked about this in the past because she wrote this blog about how she went on this solo dinner in New York. And it was like this big radical thing that she did. And on the podcast, I was like, who among us has not eaten dinner alone? Like, and of course, Liz Kelly had not. But not to talk shit about Liz when she's not here, although I love to do that. But Dua mentions this in this profile and says, some people on the internet were like, oh, Dua went out for dinner on her own, blah, blah. I do this all the time. I was like, oh, yeah, I didn't say that.
Not me.
Couldn't be me. She says, I think that's amazing if you do it all the time. You must be so confident. Thank you, Dua. I am. she goes, but it was a big step for me. I was nervous. Like, what am I going to do? I don't want to be on my phone. Now, hold up. Ready?
Okay.
Her next planned solo adventure, to go to the movies.
Whoa. Wow. This feels like a direct shot at you.
It's a big step. It's a big step. Which, like, also going to the movies alone, like a perfect solo activity. You can't talk to anyone during the movies. Like,
you're just sitting there in the dark room.
Actively a solo endeavor. So I think maybe she should have gone movies and then dinner, you know?
I think so.
Like, movies should have been the first solo outing.
Yeah.
Because that you can do on your own, no
problem.
That's
a lot less pressure.
Dinner, like, you do actually have to kind of entertain yourself other than your phone. So maybe she should have baby stepped to the movies. But listen, she's out there. She's trying.
Big things happening for
Dua. Yeah, an independent woman who's out on the town. So good for her.
Definitely not dating Anwar Hadid anymore. So that's a positive.
We'll take it. We will absolutely take it.
100%.
Okay, next we have Sophie Turner on The Cut. She's very like out and about right now because apparently she's in a TV show. Could have fooled me.
I did not know this. Wow.
Yeah, neither did I.
She's
this
in a
new
TV
news.
Show called The Staircase with Toni Collette.
Oh, I had no idea she was in that. Is,
I know, because I've seen like trailers for it and I've seen promo for it and I've not seen a trace of her, so I don't know.
No. Crazy because I do know that Arnold Schwarzenegger's son is in it, so it's like
and
think
Colin
if I
Firth,
knew,
right?
Yeah, you would think
we
if
know,
I knew
literally
he was in
every
it.
Member of this cast except Sophie Turner.
Truly, Toni Collette, I know she was in it too.
Yeah.
Wow. And you think you'd be like, yeah, Sophie Turner is in my TV show, her first return to television, but
wow,
missed opportunity,
rude. Especially from HBO. Like, be a little nicer,
come on.
You know?
Yeah. But anyway, so she's on the cover of The Cut. I think she was on the cover of like Cosmo or Glamour last week. And it's one of those dumb profile things where they have a celebrity interviewing another celebrity.
Ah, yes,
so
journalism.
They have Jessica Chastain interviewing her, air quotes.
Yes.
And at first I was like, oh, did they just want like two redheads to talk? But they were in a Marvel movie together, if you can remember.
Oh, they
X-Men?
Were?
Was Jessica Chastain in an X-Men movie?
Oh, you know
she
what?
Was. She was. It was the Phoenix movie or whatever. I remember.
I could not tell. Yeah, I think it came out like right before the pandemic.
Yeah, it was.
And it's like, that's,
that's too
anything
bad.
Like from that time period has just been like erased from my brain.
Totally. Wiped.
So, yeah. And I mean, it's like fairly boring. They literally just like go back and forth being like, no, you're so amazing.
This is why
no,
we
you're
can't
so
do
amazing.
This. This is why we that's can't funny. Have celebrities interview other celebrities. This is always what happens.
Like I was like it searching is. For like a nugget of information. There was none.
And there was none.
There
no,
was none.
Never. There never is.
She looks good. So, you know, good for
her.
She does. They're living in Florida. Which
really?
I think
interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They moved to Miami.
Oh, okay.
So,
I feel like everyone's moving to Miami, which is good. I love Miami, so I get it. Seriously, Miami changed my mind about Florida, but that's a...
Oh, I remember you saying that, actually.
Yeah, seriously. That's a different conversation for another day. Anyway, okay. I'm sorry. Okay, finally, you know, it's a name that strikes fear into that of a journalist, any type of journalist, really the ones who do profiles, because Jeremy Strong was back in the news after his, I wouldn't even call it disastrous, New York
Times. I still don't think that profile
was a great profile. It was great.
It was a great profile. And then everyone got pissed. And it was just like, what?
Jessica Chastain got pissed.
Aaron Sorkin got pissed.
Exactly. I like the most overblown, stupid. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so that guy's scary to many journalists. Anyway, I'm kidding. But his name came up again because Michelle Williams talked to Variety and she said this about Jeremy Strong after he helped her and her daughter Matilda with Heath Ledger's death. Jeremy was serious enough to hold the weight of a child's broken heart and sensitive enough to understand her. Matilda didn't grow up with her father, but she grew up with her Jeremy.
Aww.
Isn't that the cutest thing ever? Oh my
that
God.
Is very sweet.
I was like, oh, okay. Jeremy,
wow.
Jeremy Strong.
Love it. Points for Jeremy, for sure.
It's beautiful.
Also, what an eloquent way of speaking by Michelle Williams. She's just fabulous. Yeah.
She's great, you know? And apparently so is Jeremy Strong. So
there you go. The more you know.
I guess the more you know, and I'm that back in on Jeremy Strong. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
It really does.
If Michelle
does.
Williams approves of you, I probably approve of you.
I
just
know.
As a general
yeah.
rule.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm back in. So
great.
There's love an update it. For that. Yeah.
All right. Let's move along to our mishmash category. This is
not so
worth the tea.
This
week in social media and relationship news. I just have three just right off the top. Just chaos. Chaos nuggets here for you. First one. This is very important. And I'm sad. Kaya, I'm thrilled that you're here to discuss this with us. But I am sad that Selling Sunset fan Liz Kelly is not here because we have to talk about Chrishell.
Yeah.
And Chrishell. Her relationship saga. So Chrishell of Selling Sunset fame is dating G Flip.
Never heard of them before at this moment.
Me either. They are like a non-binary star of the indie music scene of some sort.
Okay.
And there's been this saga. And I actually, on my TikTok in, I think, March, there was a TikTok that was going around of a Fletcher show. And the TikTok was like, oh my God, like it's the who's who of like queer Hollywood. And it was all these like queer white women at the Fletcher show. And it was like listing them off. It was like King Princess, like blah, 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 blah. And then at the end, it was like, and also like for some reason, Chrishell from Selling Sunset is here. Mm. I was like, oh, weird. Like strange that she would be there along with all the queer white women
of like
Hollywood.
Yeah, this was kind of like floating around for a while.
Totally.
It was
totally.
Like,
yes.
So, and G Flip was the opening act of that concert. But at the time, I was like, good for Chrishell. Like, glad she has good music taste. Didn't think much of it. My gaydar just was not functioning at the time.
Well,
didn't see it coming. However, many people's gaydars were functioning. And there's sort of been a timeline. Chrishell started liking G-Flips. I keep saying G-Flip, quite the name. Started liking their Instagram posts like in February. They were spotted out and about together starting in March. They went to an Oscars after party together. In early April, I think people were like, this is a thing. Like they are clearly, you know, a lot of commenting on each other's posts. And
there
then,
was like some Dumois, like spotted, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, here and there. And then just these past couple weeks, they have gone totally official. Chrishell posted like this coming out video where she was like, I'm renovating my closet. Look at my closet renovations. And then she's like, and now I'm going to come out of it. I was like,
nice.
Oh, Chrishell.
Good one.
Oh, Chrishell.
Yeah. There are pictures that's of funny. Chrishell like tattooing G Flip's thigh.
For like, yes, I saw those.
Yeah, yeah. And then today, the music video came out that they shot together that was apparently like the start of their relationship. Although it seems more like this is a music video you make after you're already with someone. It's a lot of making out in a like a gas station convenience store in a room with neon lighting. Chrishell is thrilled to be like a music video girl. You can tell like she's really living her best life with like the smudged eyeliner and like the lip syncing. But they're officially going strong. Rumor is that Chrishell has like moved in. Although I'm like, what of your renovated closet? So maybe G Flip has moved in. I'm not sure.
That's funny.
But yeah, it's big news. The reality, the straight reality star or seemingly straight reality star to like queer internet fave pipeline is like a real thing. There have been several like bachelor stars that have kind of gone this route also. And I have my eye on all of them.
This is the way we get Kate into reality television.
It really is. Do you guys remember when that the two bachelor contestants made everyone think that they were dating and then they weren't?
Yes. Yeah.
And I followed them on Instagram for like 24 hours and then they were like, ha, like miscommunication. And I was like, fuck you. Yeah. Unfollowed.
So funny.
But I am ready to stand Chriselle now. I know nothing about Selling Sun. I will never watch.
I gotta say, as someone, I am a Selling Sunset fan. Mm-hmm. I'm watching this latest season. It's pretty terrible. It's like pretty actively staged at this point. This is the season two where Chriselle is dating one of the like short, bald twin.
Guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like, there is zero chemistry in there. but Chriselle has had a pretty interesting dating history. She was engaged to Matthew Morrison.
I did not know that. How have we buried the lead on that as an internet society?
Oh my god.
And then I think like he broke it off.
That's tough.
Yeah, really, really tough. And then was married to the guy from This Is Us, the hot guy from This Is Us.
I didn't know about that one. And then he cheated, right? Or whatever.
And then he cheated, yeah.
Oh,
and
then, yikes.
Damn, she really does have a wide history.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm happy for her. She's just, I think this is right.
Yeah.
She's just having fun.
She does. She seems happy. So I'm invested and I'm going to keep an eye on it. I follow them both on Instagram. So that's as invested as I get, really.
Understandable.
All right, really quick. This is extremely not worth the tea, but it just made me feel incredibly old. I don't know if you guys remember John and Kate plus 8.
This was my childhood watching TLC.
Seriously, this was the dawning of TLC's fundamentalist era. Yeah.
So the sextuplets are 18 now. And
horrifying
to learn.
That is insane.
But Hannah Goslin, who is one of the sextuplets, and two of them live with John. The other four live with Kate. Seems like there's like some messy interpersonal stuff there.
Yeah.
But Hannah Goslin is like the Goslin sextuplet and has like decided to make it her brand. And for her 18th birthday, she like had a party at Sugar Factory. Rode around in like a 400K Rolls Royce, did this like launch of this beauty brand that she's calling Goslin Girl.
Why does she get all the like fancy stuff?
This is my question. Wild.
Why is she like the sextuplet prime? Like what happens to the other ones?
That is rude.
Yeah. And I guess, my other question, like how are they funding this? Like they have not been active in the public eye for years. Like what do they have going on?
Influencer deals? Like, is John Goslin an influencer?
I guess.
Now? I don't know.
He must have some sort of, like, and obviously this is an attempt to make money, too. So, like, for this beauty brand. So maybe they're, you know, banking on Goslin Girl being a huge hit. But, yeah, a lot of weird stuff here. I'm like, what are the other ones doing? Like, how is this happening?
I have a question for Amelia.
Yeah.
Which is, will you be purchasing Goslin Girl?
You know,
it is skincare as well. It's makeup.
She has a pink watermelon serum.
Well,
damn.
And a rainforest elixir serum.
Okay. Wow. See, if you use elixir and rainforest, that's pretty enticing. I'm not going to lie. I mean, rainforest, come on.
You might need to check out her website.
Oh my God.
We really have reached, we are reaching like a breaking point of beauty brands though. I know we talked about it before.
It's too many.
There are too many. There are only so many serums in the rainforest. And I think we're running out.
But just like, that sounds so classy. I'm just like, oh man, damn, that sounds good.
It is $34,
$34. That's expensive.
That is
expensive. For Goslin Girl?
Goslin Girl is not for the average.
Who's the market for the average girl? What?
Other like dumb 18-year-olds who already have perfect skin and are
that's true. That's who it is.
I feel like at 18, $34? That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Also, at 18, like, what kind of skincare do you really need to be doing? Just wear sunscreen.
That's so
true. Yeah,
seriously.
Anyway, I just needed to share that with all of you to make you feel as old as I felt learning this.
I feel very, very old, so thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, next one. I was coming at it from a haterific standpoint, and then the more research I did, listen, stay with me here. Okay, James Cromwell of Babe and of Succession.
Love it.
He is in the news this week because he super glued his hand to a table at Starbucks in order to protest their surcharge for non-dairy milk. Okay. So this is not the case in the UK. It's not the case overseas, but Starbucks has a surcharge for like oat milk, almond milk, et cetera, in their drinks if you want to use it. Okay. So PETA had this protest. James Cromwell took part and super glued his hand to the counter.
Frickin' PETA.
Now, nice.
As you know, as someone who has frequented Veg News and made fun of Joaquin Phoenix and Rooney Mara in the past, I came at this from slightly dismissive perspective. I was like, you know what? This is insane. Uh-huh. And I'm going to make fun of it on our podcast. However, the more I looked into it, James Cromwell has been an activist for years. Okay. He was on the defense committee for the Black Panthers in the 1960s. He used his apartment as a safe house for them. In the 70s is what he got into the animal rights movement. And then he became vegan after shooting Babe in the 90s, which like any reason to go vegan. I'm like, you know what? That is very sweet. And I support you, James Cromwell. Also, he like really walks the walk. Like it's easy to be like, okay, like a rich man, super good at his hand
sure.
to a counter. But he got arrested at SeaWorld years ago for interrupting an orca show wearing a shirt that says SeaWorld sucks. He served three days in an Orange County jail after refusing to pay a fine after a sit-in in a power plant. So he's doing environmental protesting as well. And he got arrested in 2001 for occupying a Wendy's in Virginia. So he's doing...
I love it.
He is active. He is at protest. He's doing like the Jane Fonda, like walking the walk.
He is
like, invested in like future generations. So originally I was like, this is hilarious to like super glue your hand to something. But you know, like James Cromwell is out there doing the work. And we have to stand.
We have to stand.
Like, you know what?
What are Joaquin Phoenix and Rooney Mara doing? You know?
Exactly. Where are they? They're walking through the streets with dead animal carcasses, but they're not getting arrested.
Super gluing their hands to the counter.
It's funny to me how similar he is to a Succession character.
Yes, like the anti-capitalist. Yes! Like, yeah.
Really love it.
Yeah. So varied reactions to this on social media. But I think once people like kind of did the research and were like, oh, like he actually is
the real thing.
Yeah.
We gotta respect it. Honestly, totally. James Cromwell. And I also don't know that I want to pay, you know, 30 cents extra to have oat milk. So
I love to save a couple
in your
bucks for Starbucks.
Right.
Yes. Absolutely.
Seriously. Wow. That was good. My next piece of little social media / not worth the tea news is nothing.
It's great.
In comparison to what you just talked about. But it's, you know, it's not great because it's just Madonna and the Pope and they are at odds. Because Madonna decided to tweet, I know, for the most, I don't even know why, but this is from May 4th. So I guess, I'm sorry, I'm a week late, but
that's okay.
She writes,
never too late for Madonna and the Pope.
It's true. She writes, hello at Pontifex Francis. I'm a good Catholic. I swear. I mean, I don't swear. It's been a few decades since my last confession. Would it be possible to meet up one day to discuss some important matters? I've been excommunicated 3 times. It doesn't seem fair. Sincerely, Madonna.
Wow.
That was, I know.
So is there anything specific? Like, did she do something specific she needs to now ask for?
You know, that's a great question.
Is this related to the NFT thing?
Maybe it was like cleaning the movie theater. She's atoning for her sins one by one.
Well, did you see the NFT thing, the model of her? No, neither. No, okay.
No.
You can go Google that while she's up to this week.
Okay.
She made an NFT model of a certain area of her body.
Got it.
Yeah. And so she maybe is asking
maybe
for
that's
forgiveness
what she's asking
in
for
advance.
Sure.
Fascinating.
Well, it could be a number of things. It could be that. It could be like the burning of the crosses.
There are many options. It's
there
true.
Are, so.
Also, it feels like she's trying to like kind of like be in her Cher era with like the funny tweets. You know how like Cher?
Yes. Like Cookie
like
Grandma.
If Cher tweeted at the Pope, we'd all be like, haha, Cher, like tweeting at the Pope. So it seems like maybe Madonna is like trying to get in on that.
She's dipping
Madonna,
her toes.
Yeah. I'm always just a little bit frightened.
Yeah, there is that element of it. Always.
No, she's definitely dipping her toes into the kooky lady of Twitter kind of area. And I'm just, you know what? I think you're completely correct. And I see us getting more like emoji use. We already have some random capitalization in here. So I'm just telling the listeners, look for this. In the coming months, if Madonna starts using little emojis...
Kooky grandma.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
Got it.
So.
Got it. We'll keep an eye on it.
Okay, good.
All right, next. Adam Sandler's daughter had a bat mitzvah, turned 13, And I was looking at this guest list and I was like, this is really random. But then I was like, maybe this is not so random. So the guest list included Jennifer Aniston, which is like, that's fine. Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston starred in many movies together.
Yes.
Taylor Lautner.
Oh.
Why?
Halsey.
Whoa.
Charlie Puth.
Are these all people that the daughter is a fan of?
So I think that is the thing. So I saw photos of Halsey and Charlie Puth performing there. Mm. So I think the daughter was probably like, I like these artists. Can they perform at my bat mitzvah? And since her father is Adam Sandler, he's like, yes, of course.
Yes.
The one I couldn't super figure out was like Taylor Lautner. I was like, was she a big Twilight fan?
Right. Seems too young.
Mm.
Yeah. And then I Googled Adam Sandler, Taylor Lautner. They were in like a random like 2015 movie together. And I was like, maybe they had just like really hit it off and like they're buddies now. Yeah.
That
so I don't
fascinating.
Know.
Fascinating. I would love to know if she is just like Team Jacob hardcore, you know?
Mm.
Yeah. Like wow. She was like, watched the movies when she was a kid. I mean, I don't know. Do young kids watch Twilight now?
I don't know. I mean, it's maybe. Definitely like turned into kind of like an internet subculture meme thing where yeah. like maybe they yeah. do like for the bit, you know?
Yeah.
But that the jump from like enjoying Twilight like as a bit to inviting Taylor Lautner to your bat mitzvah is quite far to me.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm. yeah.
I don't know. I'm so curious about that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe Taylor Lautner and Adam Sandler are buds.
He's got nothing going on. Maybe he really wanted
to. No, he really doesn't.
God.
There was also like a lot of random TikTokers there, but I'm not going to bother to name them.
Fascinating.
All right. Rounding out the category with like very, very dumb piece of news. So yesterday at around sometime in the afternoon, Goop, they posted an Instagram announcing the launch of the Diaper. Which was like, because they got a little accent on the E, so we got to say diaper. And it was a 12-pack of diapers for $120, lined with virgin alpaca wool and fastened with amber gemstones, which are known for their ancient emotional cleansing properties because babies need to be emotionally cleansed, and infused with the scent of jasmine and bergamot for a revitalized baby.
Wow.
So, you know, people immediately were like, this is ridiculous. This is, and because it's Goop, people were like, yes, I believe that this is a product that they would launch. And also,
the immediate reaction was just like, Goop is on their bullshit again. No one was, I mean, some people, us in the chat, because we are, you know, well versed in Goop antics, were like, this has to be fake.
But and we're Twitter also well versed in getting it. God on the internet lately.
Yeah, we are.
So I was
but
like,
Twitter,
no
Twitter like immediately believed this was real.
Yeah. So of course it is not. It was a PR stunt. They had an update this morning with Gwyneth getting on an Instagram video and very solemnly being like, people were very angry at this yesterday and they should be. This is a luxury diaper and diapers should not be treated as a luxury. And basically it was a stunt to bring attention to the fact that diapers are taxed as a luxury in some state.
Mm.
Wow. That's Goop activism for you.
Yeah.
That's it. It wasn't like we are doing anything. They were just like, hey, you should donate to this organization if you to provide diapers to families. And it wasn't like they were like, oh, we're like launching some initiative. It was just like,
no,
just hey, random. But like you could donate if you wanted.
That is so insane. And it's so that funny that like all it did was make people like Goop would do this. You know, the only reason we were like, this has to be fake is because they were disposable. If they weren't disposable, I think we would have believed it.
If they were reusable, if they were like, oh, these are reusable diapers that are lined with virgin alpaca wool, I would be like, yeah, they would do this.
Yeah.
And like some
100%.
Yeah. So
damn. Goop. Never change.
Never change.
Maybe do change, actually. Maybe do. All right. Let's get into cringe mode. We like Kaya pick this week. This is a Kaya McMullen original. Now, if you remember, recent Kaya cringe mode picks have included Geely, the Christmas movie with Emma Roberts at the mall.
Bad movie.
Holidate.
Holidate. Thank you. And I think those are the main two. So Kaya, we were a little afraid to ask Kaya to choose this week, but she picked a great one. We were talking about Uptown Girls.
Yeah.
Which, Kaya, you said this is a personal childhood favorite, right?
So yeah, this was just like one of the movies that we randomly had on DVD as a child. And so like my sister and I would watch like over and over again. So that's partially why I picked it, because I was like, I already remember most of this movie. Don't need to do too much legwork here.
Nice.
But
efficiency.
Yeah, you know.
Efficiency.
Near and dear to my heart.
Yes. And Amelia, you and I had never seen, we'd seen like bits and pieces of this, but had never seen the whole movie.
I've seen the trailers for some reason like 1,000 times.
Close
enough. Well, it was probably, again, the highlights. Like, you probably had a DVD
that played it before this was, then. Like,
a trailer.
Yep.
Right, right.
That's a good point.
Uptown Girls stars Brittany Murphy and Dakota Fanning. And Brittany Murphy is, you know, the child of musical royalty. And her funding gets cut off, basically. Her parents are deceased, right? Both of them? Yes.
Yes. They die in a plane crash.
Yes. And she lives alone in this, you know, penthouse apartment. Doesn't really know how to do anything that an adult would do. She ends up running out of money. Someone like her financial guy kind of schemes her, runs away. She needs to get a job. She ends up being a nanny for Dakota Fanning, who is the daughter of like a music producer that her friend knows. Dakota Fanning's character, Ray, is just like the most neurotic little girl you've ever seen in your entire life. Very funny, very different from like manic pixie dream girl, Brittany Murphy. And basically they help each other grow in many ways throughout the course of the film. And yeah, that's pretty much it. They just like, you know, originally don't get along, eventually become friends and help each other live their lives in better ways.
It ends with a dance recital.
Yeah.
As all great movies, as all great movies do. All right, let's get into the highlights. Great movie, first of all. Really fun.
I'm
really
so glad you enjoyed it.
Great vibes.
It was such a relief.
Really sweet.
Especially after last week.
Yeah, we needed a cleansing. All right. So first of all, the first scene of this movie shows Brittany Murphy like in this chaos apartment, getting ready for her birthday party, you know, tossing on some makeup and a dress and taking her bra off of the lamp, and things are scattered everywhere. And as a messy girl at heart, like I listen, my apartment is not a mess. You can see it behind me.
You wish you could be a mess.
And I'm not. There's a difference between a messy girl and a dirty girl. So like later in the movie, it shows she has like all these old takeout containers. Like that's dirty. Like that is not me. However, messy is like clothes strewn everywhere. Like your makeup is all out on your counter. Like you're just not naturally organized. And that is very much me at heart. So I found the chaos of this apartment extremely relatable, especially when she went over to her makeup and like pulled out the drawer and it was just like products scattered in this drawer. I was like, literally, that's what my makeup drawer looks like. So it was very relatable to me. I felt seen.
Also flammable in there, but anyway.
Yeah, a lot of candles. I don't have as many candles.
She wakes up from a nap. There's several candles burning. It was a little concerning, but anyways.
Little tough.
That's really funny.
But it's very lived in space, you know?
Lived in, that's good. I appreciated it. Me too. I also appreciated, you know, love a wise beyond their years child narration in the beginning. I just feel like that, you know, sets you up for something good, you know? It's
always,
we're going to learn something along with everyone else, you know? But I love it, especially when it's done by, I was thinking about this while watching this movie, but iconic child actor Dakota Fanning, who has since transitioned. Like, she
really
everywhere
was. She was
in the 2000s.
Yeah.
She, like, people were like, the go-to child actress, Dakota Fanning. Kind of like, I mean, I don't want to call her like a second coming of Shirley Temple, but it was kind of like that. Or, you know, people always make the child, like, cast her joke to that McKenna Grace girl. She plays everyone. Yeah. When they
I
were
feel
younger.
Like McKenna Grace is like a Dakota Fanning.
Yeah, totally. Yes.
Because I mean, I'm looking at Dakota Fanning's IMDb right now. And in 2000, she was in Sweet Home Alabama, Uptown Girls, Cat in the Hat, War of the Worlds,
big movies.
Charlotte's Web, Secret Life of Bees.
Oh, yeah.
Twilight Saga.
Twilight Saga. God. That's when
she got the
that
Twilight
was the
that was the beginning of the end.
Transition. Yeah.
Maybe that's a hard transition. Such a hard transition. But yeah, that's so. So
she was the moment.
She was the moment. And I think that we need to cast her and then McKenna Grace as a younger her in a movie. So like the torch can be passed. Yeah.
The circle of life.
The circle of life. Exactly.
Yeah. She's really cute. All of her like little germaphobe quirks. It works.
It's true. Yes, it's true. It really does work. Also, this is really random, but I didn't know where else to put it. But this movie, I've never seen this movie, like I said, but I've seen the trailer you know, upwards of 1,000 times. And I always have remembered the swinging door moment. Oh, yeah. Where she's like, I quit. And then she slams the door. And then Dakota Fanning's like, swinging door. And then it hits her in the face. I don't know why, but that, it's been like, what, 19 years? That has stuck with me. I've never seen this movie, but I just, that moment. It's weird.
That's how you know it's good. No, it's
exactly.
A lot of like physical comedy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yes. Brittany Murphy gets like hurt a lot.
Yeah. Truly.
She really does. Speaking of Brittany Murphy, absolutely beautiful, charismatic, so engaging. Good. Magnetic, mm-hmm. Like could not be more fun to watch in this mm-hmm. movie. And I just miss her a lot. She just like absolutely carries this. And I think it's in the way that like Dakota Fanning,
like anyone else would have been annoying.
Exactly. And right. That's the same case yes. with Dakota Fanning's character. Like you have the very neurotic, like annoying child, the very like whimsical, quirky 22-year-old. And like if either of them had like veered too far, it would have been annoying. But they both just are so fun and engaging to watch that mm-hmm. they both just absolutely pull it off and it's great.
Yeah. Miss Brittany Murphy.
I know. Mm-hmm. No one like her.
I know.
Seriously. Oh, that's sad. Well, okay. Sorry. I'm
sorry. Bring us back up. Bring us back up. Another highlight.
I'll get you back.
Woo. Okay. So the next highlight is there's like this random dumb music video in this movie from her love interest kind of guy. His name is Neil. And it's just like, it was so random, but it was funny. Did you guys like that?
Everything about Neil I was out on.
He was terrible, but then I was like, I guess you're like supposed to be terrible because you're supposed to like show how poor of judgment she has.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Oh, that's a good point. Kaya, you're thinking on all...
I've only seen that this wisdom, lady, like,
that wisdom has
times.
Come. Yeah, the wisdom has come over time that's with so rewatching funny. This movie. Yeah, the music video was funny though.
With it the, was.
Like, dated.
With all the... The 80s, yeah, it looked really 80s. And then I was thinking a lot during this movie, as you could tell. But they said the 80s are back, and that would have been 20 years ago from the timeline in the movie.
Right.
And now we're, like, as we've been talking about recently, kind of reliving. Everyone wants to relive the 2000s.
Yeah.
And that movie was released, like, 20 years later. So I was like, oh, wow, the parallels. So
2000s are back, whether we want them to be or
they
not.
Are. Exactly.
Terrifying prospect, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is a good movie. Like, it's cute. Mm-hmm. It's like a tight 90 minutes. There's a Love very that. Like easy plot point to follow. The ending's like kind of cheesy, like where Neil comes back and like, no, get out of here. We hate you.
Yeah.
And with all the guitars, and then it kind of just like cuts. But you know, everybody ends up like, well, I mean, Ray's dad is still dead, but she seems more adept at processing her emotions. Brittany mm-hmm. Murphy's gonna go to fashion school. You know, it's a nice time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It is a nice time.
It's like a nice little like platonic rom-com, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into some lowlights. You guys, I agree that Dakota Fanning is great in this. Mm-hmm. But my personal pet peeve, and this is only like here and there, and I know this is the whole bit in this movie. But I have to say, my personal pet peeve, especially when it's done not as well as this, is when children in movies say things that no child in human history has ever said. And again, like Dakota pulls it off, and like actually like the writing and the jokes are really good in this. And so like it does work, but I think this movie makes other movies think that they can do the same thing where it's like you have this precocious, like smart, beyond their years child that says these words and these phrases and these full paragraphs. And I'm like, no 6-year-old has ever said that many words in a row that have sounded that way. And like,
and there's no way they could have learned those words feasibly.
Like, right. And like,
I don't care how fancy the private school is.
Exactly. And how like, you know, smart they are. Like they are every now and then I'm like, that is just something no child has ever said. So,
right.
And again, like it works here because like, it's just funny and you know, silly, but yeah. And in other examples of this, I'm like, you gotta stop.
It's kind of insane. I mean, because a lot of the stuff she was saying, I was just like, you know, if this were said in today's world, we'd have like TikToks of her saying this to people and she'd be canceled because she's just like a little Karen.
She's
well,
a little
and also
Karen.
Like, where is she even? Like, she doesn't have the internet. It's the early 2000s. Where is she learning about botulism?
Well, truly.
Exactly.
And also, she's really cold about her dad. Like, if there's like one part where Brittany Murphy's like, oh, like, are you sad about your dad? And she like, he's a vegetable. So no.
I know. It's like, damn. It's okay. Like,
oh, Jesus. Yeah. Oh my God. I know.
She's so emotionally scarred.
She is. She's got a lot of trauma in her, what, like 6 years of life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not good. Yeah. Another low light for me, and this was also kind of a highlight, but I did a huge double take. There's a party scene at the end, and all of a sudden, like, Mark McGrath and Dave Navarro are, like, in the screen. I was like, whoa, like, why? And, like, Mark McGrath's got, like, the bleach blonde hair, and Dave Navarro is just, like, being Dave Navarro, which is always, like, a little scary. And they just, like, have a scene where they're asking Brittany Murphy's character to make clothes for them.
Yeah.
Right.
She, like, you know, did this jacket for her guy. But I just was like, well, just get out of here. It, like, and broke the fourth wall a little bit
for
me.
Who was it? They're like, oh, Keith Urban's over there. Gotta go talk to him.
Oh, yeah. I was like, okay. I've never been watching a movie and been like, you know who would make this better? Mark McGrath. Like, never. Never. It's never happened.
Also, I forgot, like, that Brittany Murphy, like, I was really caught off guard when they introduced Brittany Murphy's character, and they're like, on the eve of her 22nd birthday, and then it cuts to her having an existential crisis about, like, being
truly
old. And
truly
it's just, like, another
gross.
One of those things where you watch a movie as a child and you're seeing that person and you're like, oh my god, they are old. 22.
Yeah, and the whole thing is, like, she is, like, has to get her life together. Like, she's getting up there. Like, it's not even just that, like, her personal existential crisis. Like, the tone of the movie is, like, her friends are like, it's time
to
get your shit together. And it's like, you're 22. You're
fine. Yeah, that's insane.
She's fine. Yeah,
it's crazy. Tough. Triggering. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Triggering as a 26-year-old watching this.
Yeah.
I will say this was kind of, I didn't really have a lot of low lights. So this is, like, a really
nitpicking.
Yeah. So there's a part, and this is about Neil, and he leaves his lucky jacket at her place.
I would say Neil himself is a low light.
Yes.
He is a low, I agree. And he can only think about his lucky jacket when she's at his place. That's just lazy writing.
Doesn't track.
Because it's like, if this was your lucky jacket that you say that you perform with every night, wouldn't you be going over to her place and being like, I need to get this jacket back?
Yeah, and as she's leaving her place in the first place, he's like, oh, I have 5 shows this week.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Gotta
Thank
have
you.
Your jacket, bro.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
get
sorry.
It together, Neil.
It was just a little lazy
get
writing.
Get it together, Neil.
Well, and also the other bit of, like, lazy writing was at the beginning when Neil comes over and her electricity's off, and then it cuts to the next day and the electricity's working, and it's like,
and she's on the phone, too.
Yeah. Where'd you get your electricity back from?
That's true. Forth? That is a good point.
It's a great point. That's a great point.
And then, I mentioned this. The ballet recital ending is cheesy. And, like, only the real, like, my real issue with it is that it implies that this is, like, Neil's attempt to like, I don't know, get back in her good graces or something. And so, like, if it turns out, we don't know, that she gets back together with Neil, then terrible.
Also, the fact that she almost missed it. Like, she's at this fashion interview and she remembers and she's like, she's going to kill me. And she runs and, like, at the last second makes it to this ballet recital. And then it turns out they've, like, created this entire dance around, like, her dad's guitars. Like, Dakota Fanning is the star. Like, Neil is playing. Point. Imagine if she had not made it. That would have been,
and they're just,
oh,
like,
my
looking
God.
In the crowd, like,
so
horrifying.
Yeah, really tough.
Oh, God.
All right, let's do what aged the best and the worst. Age the worst. It's got to be said, Dakota Fanning's career.
What happened, man?
She had it all. And then puberty hit and she lost it. And now her sister has eclipsed her as the superior Fanning.
Did
you really,
like,
think so? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did Elle fill the spot of, like, where adult Dakota Fanning would have gone?
I think so. I think she was just biding her time, you know? Also, like, I'm just
waiting in the wings.
Yeah. Just watching her sister get cute kid roles and being like, you'll see when
you'll see
later
you'll
on
see.
10 years, 20 years.
I'm going to get you where it really matters.
Like, the last thing I saw Dakota Fanning in was the Quentin Tarantino movie. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And she was in it for like two
oh my
seconds
gosh.
At like
she
the
was
cult.
One of, yeah. The cult girl
on the ranch or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, I'm sure she's been in other stuff, but I can't think of anything. Whereas Elle Fanning's like in The Great and then like all these like movies and shows. And it's definitely swapped.
Dakota Fanning's in The First Lady, and it appears, which is a
that's
show
on,
that's
on
getting
right now.
A little buzz.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Right.
Great.
She's working. But
But
she'll make a comeback, maybe. Someday.
It's interesting.
Elle Fanning is the superior Fanning at the moment.
I don't think it's particularly close at the moment. Well, although, again, Dakota Fanning just really did what she had to do for like 6 years
She
there.
Did. I just, you're right in that I feel as if when she was younger, we were all saying like, she's going to win an Academy Award, like, you know, by the time she's like 20, mm-hmm. out of her teens and stuff. And it's like, I would say, you know, people like Emma Stone and Jennifer Lawrence are her contemporaries and they've, you know, had bigger careers, which is fine. I'm not trying to be like, how dare you not have like the biggest career ever? But it's just, it's interesting to see how things change.
It is. She dropped off a little bit.
Yeah.
And honestly, like nobody's career, and I feel a little bad saying this because like Brittany Murphy died. And so like, we don't know what her career would have looked like. She probably would have been like, I think pretty great. She would have been a great rom-com lead.
We need her for like the mid-size rom-com. You know, like really, she just is so good at that. But yeah, I agree. Everyone else in this movie hasn't.
Like the most famous person in this movie was Huey, who went on to be the Scrubs guy.
Right. Oh, Donald Faison or whatever. Yeah.
Right. He's in those commercials with Zach Braff.
Yeah.
Yeah. He sure is.
You.
How dare you say those words to me?
Like, we've said this about like every single 2000s movie we've watched, but like 2000s Fashion Man, aged great.
Aged incredibly well. It looks so good.
All the TikTok girlies should be watching this movie for inspiration.
Take notes.
I was like looking up the quotes. Like, because for the one of the lightning round questions about Dakota Fanning's quotes, and even just on Google Images, like some of these stills, like just the vibes and the fashion and like something about it, I was like, this is just the exact aesthetic that some of these girls are going for.
Oh yeah,
it really is.
Thrift store, flea market,
yeah,
vintage,
crochet, the like messy hair, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. It is true.
Amelia, what has also aged the best?
I would say that this movie could have aged kind of poorly, like a lot of early 2000s movies, but it really doesn't have any like, oh my God, that's so yikes nowadays parts, which is impressive.
And, agreed.
You know, so, and I think it's just a really sweet and fun film.
Agreed. It did. It has aged quite well, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Brittany Murphy. MVP.
Clear MVP. Yeah.
Clear MVP.
Obviously, yes.
Yep.
Well, I mean, Dakota Fanning's like runner-up.
Yeah.
But
yes. Oh, totally.
Murphy.
Agreed. All right, let's do some lightning round questions. What is the best outfit in this movie? Brittany Murphy has some real winners. For me, I went with the rainbow floral overall dress. She wears like this jean overall long dress with like these rainbow like flowers and butterflies and like all these patches on it. And then she has like this super messy curly updo that I
love that overall dress. I would wear that.
It's so good. It's like peak, like farmer's market, hippie, granola fashion.
Her like cosplaying as like a school teacher or something.
Kooky art teacher. Yeah. Really, really good. And like I don't know, something about like her energy, like it is just this side of like frazzled, you know, but like she really just like pulls it together and it looks so fun.
She could have like submitted a photo of this like for her role as like Miss Frizzle in the live action Magic School Bus
movies. Oh my gosh, yes.
You know?
Yes.
I really like the first party outfit mainly for the candle, like I don't know if that was a candle holder or what, a candle decoration that she like fashions into a hair clip, which I thought was like the height of fashion when I was a kid. I was like, wow.
That's so cute.
Genius.
Again, the TikTok girlies would have loved that too. The DIY girls.
Absolutely.
All about it. All about it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, I totally agree with both of you guys. I said the floral overall dress, but I also like the little candle holder
thing. She's got some great ones for sure.
She really does.
What is the best Brittany Murphy manic pixie dream girl moment? She has several little manic pixie dream girl stereotype moments.
That is such a good way to name it. Yeah. I was like, what kind of character? And it's like, oh, manic pixie.
Was this an Amelia question? Amelia, was this you? Yeah, this is really good. For me, it was the spontaneous dancing at every opportunity. The like, don't follow any steps, just follow your heart. And like, you know, not only like teaching Dakota Fanning how to do that, but like just in the beginning and in her apartment and like in any moment, she's just like dancing. And it's that's just very, very,
I like she's when she's spinning Dakota.
Yes, yeah, exactly. The spinning as well.
The spinning and she like throws her into a cabinet. Yeah, that was intense.
For me, it was a tie between the like rescued pet pig, where she's like, I was on a trip in Thailand and I didn't want to eat him. And walking through the streets of New York barefoot, which was.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh my God. Horrifying.
She's so free spirited. She doesn't need shoes.
Exactly. Exactly. She's protected by vibes.
That's
a great Amelia, point. What's yours? This is also a great pick.
There's like a scene that's like really dark. She's like, I'm so depressed. And she goes to this bridge and she like jumps off of it in like a oddly charming way. She's just like, okay. And then she just, and she, it's just, I don't, I was like, what the fuck is going
on? It's not that tall, to be clear. It's not a really tall bridge.
It's not,
she's
but
fine.
It's like, you know, yeah. There are things implied. So.
Yeah. And then she just like is wet and splashing around.
And that's it. Yeah.
And everybody's like, get out of that water.
What? Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Some concerning hygiene issues here, to be sure. Lots. Also, just like the hair is so Manic Pixie Dream Girl.
Yeah.
Like the way that it's like, you don't get that like curl because it's not natural curls, but it is very like just messy enough. You know?
Yeah, where it's like, oh, I just woke up like this.
Yeah, it's like the messy updo that like definitely took a stylist an hour and a half to do, but also looks like she just rolled out of bed.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Chef's kiss.
It is. It is.
What is the best Ray line where she sounds like a 40-year-old? So many options. My personal favorite
like the screen grab.
Was in their first meeting in the bathroom at her birthday party. And she goes, you brought your own personal soap? And Ray goes, hey, you want to pick up bacterial meningitis or polio? You go ahead and be my guest. Whatever diseases you're already carrying probably make those sound like a joke anyway. Also, like, she's so aggressive when she says this line.
She
it's
really
like, oh
is.
My God. Damn.
Just like, ended
brutal,
her out of nowhere.
Brutal stuff. Seriously. Here. But also, like, that aged quite well. Like, and she really does need some hygiene improvements. Mm-hmm. So.
She could use it, apparently.
Points were made.
I liked when Brittany Murphy's character is drinking juice and Ray's like, ew, disgusting. Might as well drink cyanide. It's quicker.
You're like, oh my
it's great
God.
Stuff.
What the Damn.
Fuck? It's so intense.
And I guess you
end
what?
Her
guess
life. Jesus.
I know. Oh my God. Well, mine is her saying fundamentals are the building blocks of fun. Just, I feel like that's some 40-year-old. Math teacher
really
energy
is.
Right there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep, put that on a poster.
Yeah, where is she learning this stuff?
I have no idea. I also, it's funny because I started this category by being like, oh, Brittany Murphy's character is so relatable and how messy she is. But also like some of Ray's like little neuroses are also incredibly relatable. Like maybe it's like there are two wolves inside of you and like one of them is like chaotic Brittany Murphy and the other one is like neurotic Dakota Fanning. And like we
oh
all
my
just,
God, mm-hmm. I love
a,
that.
One on each shoulder.
That's what
battling internal but, battle at all times.
Yeah, yeah. But really fun movie. Kaya, great pick.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much.
Great
so
stuff.
Glad you enjoyed.
I feel like people are gonna be like, this movie isn't cringy. Listen, we watch what we want to watch.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we
exactly.
deserve joy.
And
we deserve
honestly,
joy.
I feel
after
like any
last week.
Movie from the early 2000s is
right.
viable for cringe mode.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So suck it.
Yeah. Listeners. All right. let's do the last category. We have a fun variety of unanswerable questions here. I'm going to go ahead and start us off. This one's pretty boring, but I just have to complain. My question is, are celebrities entering their totes era as Nylon Mag implies that they are? Or are they just normal humans who need to carry things like the rest of us? So on Twitter today, it was like the side like trending topic. And it was like, celebrities are bringing back the tote bag, or like you won't believe what mid-2000s bag like
tote
celebrities
bag never
are carrying.
Left for me, but okay.
And I was like, right. So I clicked on this article expecting to see them like on red carpets with big bags because like that
oh,
would
it
be
literally just
that
them, like,
would be notable.
Home from the grocery
no, it's
store.
Literally a picture of like Zoe Kravitz at the farmer's market with a tote bag. I'm like, this is just
what
this
else
is a person going about their day carrying something. Like this
really
is not
funny.
A trend. This is just life.
I mean, if this means the end of like the aggressively small purse that like people
right.
carry, where
oh,
like it literally
God.
Only fits a lipstick, and you just
yes.
look silly, you look silly.
Yes,
then I'm fine
totally.
With it.
Right, which is why I clicked on it because I was like, yes, big bags. Like I have things, and I need to carry them. It's like
things.
That. Have you ever seen that TikTok where it's like minimalism is for rich people? I'm broke. I need stuff. Like that's how
funny.
I feel about And I've really embraced the tote bag lately as well. Like,
good. We need things. Should.
We need
They're
stuff.
Great.
It's roomy.
Yes.
Exactly. It is super roomy.
They are good. Grab it on the go.
The answer is that totes have never left and will never leave. Because never, we always need ever. To carry things. No matter how rich you are.
It's
and
true.
Little purses are dumb.
Yes. That's
and
the
they
answer.
They are stupid.
All right, Amelia, hit it.
I can't wait for this one.
Yes. Well, the other day, Jack Antonoff released to his Instagram a track list from the new Minions movie, Minions, The Rise of Gru, which I guess is coming out soon. So
how many?
Mark your
is
calendars.
This like four or five?
You know, that's a great question. I don't
know. It might
know.
Be like the fifth. I think there have been like three Despicable Me's. Of Minions, and then at least another Minions. I think this is the fifth Minions movie.
Thing about this, too, is that Jack Antonoff like posted this like a little like graphic on his Instagram, right?
It's cute.
And when
yeah.
I first saw it, I was like, I thought it was like a music festival poster.
Yes, yes.
What
like, I mean.
Oh,
purposefully looks that way.
Yeah, yeah, and I was like reading it, and I was like, Tame Impala, like, isn't like Phoebe Bridgers on this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yep.
And I was like, oh, hey, this looks like a music festival I'd be interested in going to.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Minions soundtrack.
It's crazy. It's absolutely insane. It's just, I don't.
It's depressing.
It is. And they also are covering all these great old songs. You
right,
because
they want
got,
like a 70s vibe.
Right. Exactly. We've got St. Vincent covering Funky Town. We have Fly Like an Eagle by Thundercat. You know, I don't know who that is.
Black
but,
Magic
you know.
Woman.
Yeah, wow. They have all these older songs, and it's just like, oh, cool. Like, we get
what
to see.
What do Minions sound like? Are they like a chipmunk?
Yeah. They like I the. Think, bah, bah. You know, they're
right,
like.
Yes.
Bah, na, na, na. Remember that song? That was the big Minions song.
Or do you remember, like, in the early 2000s, there was like a big genre of, it wasn't like big, but like the genre of music with the little hamster dance song and the like blue frog, and everyone was like, yeah. Do you guys remember that? No?
And remember the commercials for like the Kia with the hamsters?
Yes.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
These are all in the same genre of music, mm-hmm. definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
Amelia, what
exactly.
is your question regarding
okay, sorry.
The Minion soundtrack?
Yes. My question is why? Well, I have
why?
Two. I have a couple.
Why in general?
why Minions? Why? I've never
why
seen
another Minions movie.
I've actually never seen a Minions movie, and I like want to. Just to
I think
see,
I saw the
know,
first one.
What I'm missing.
The
but,
first Despicable Me was good.
It
okay,
was.
I'm
it
with
was
you.
Legitimately
it was
good. And then okay. they just bastardized the franchise.
They did. But okay, so the Minions will be performing Simon and Garfunkel's Cecilia. Which I'm just okay. like, wow, I'm scared, but I also, I'm intrigued. And I also feel for the people who love that song, which I mean, I like it. It's a good song, but so, you know, it might be someone's favorite song. Maybe someone named Cecilia, that's her favorite song. I don't know. But anyway, and I got to thinking like, would this like totally ruin the song for someone for the rest of their life? Cause it might, you know, just
yeah.
the fact that you get these little guys singing it could ruin the yeah. song. So I was wondering what song would you like to hear the Minions sing, or what song would you not like to, like, you're like, you can't sing this song, Minions, you're going to ruin it for me.
I personally would like them to stay away from like the Fleetwood Mac discography.
Sure. Yeah. Understandable.
Like, yeah. please, please do not cover Dreams. No one needs that. And I'm scared with this like 70s vibe they're going for, though. That's like what they're coming for next and what will surely be another Minion sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true.
I think part of their thing is they make up words, right? Or mm-hmm. do they actually, they don't speak English, right? It's like,
oh, do they have a link? Like, yeah, I think you're right.
So I would yeah. like, I would like them to choose an extremely explicit song.
Oh, ooh,
and then because they're not saying any of the lyrics, so
yeah.
then it's like, I don't know, like a Kendrick Lamar song. They're probably not rapping, but I would like to see that too, actually. But just like so, like a kid, it would be like a kids' bop version. You know how
right.
those are always really funny, like when they try
yes.
to censor some of these songs.
Yeah.
It would be like That's kids' bop, point. But like to the nth degree because like they're not actually using English words. They're just like meh 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 meh. So then.
That was great. That was really good.
I don't. I will think more about a specific example of this, but
okay,
that's my choice. If
do.
I have to choose something
that's
for them,
good.
To, just for science, you know, I just
How
like to see.
How much money did they pay Jack Antonoff to do this?
Got to be a lot. It's got to be.
I guess.
And also, like, but, I have a strong feeling like this is going to be extremely successful. Like, I think
no, I you know it will be. So they're probably yeah. paying him a lot of money, and he's like, "Yeah, please, I'll do it. I'll say it again."
Yeah, Like, you know, like Happy or whatever was like such a huge thing.
That was
like,
huge.
This feels in that vein of songs that like are huge that we kind of forget were related to a certain movie.
Right.
You know, that kind of like just
Happy
take
is
over
such
in
a
their
good,
own right.
A good example. That song blew up. That was like the song of the year. Did it win like Grammys too?
Absolutely huge. And there have been other like Minions related songs or Trolls related songs and like things like
that. Justin Timberlake, I got a feeling or not, I got a feeling, but it's like that get the feeling or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah. And he did another one with SZA that was also big. Like this.
Oh my God.
This seems
like a
right
big get for artists.
I know. I think that's why they all signed on. They're like, I want to be like, the next Happy.
I want to be on the Minions soundtrack.
Yeah.
This is like a highlight of someone's year, probably.
It's a little dark, honestly.
It is dark.
Oh my God. That's so funny. It's so true. But, wow. Yeah, well, damn. I didn't even think of that. Oh my God.
If this is like the Grammy award winning album of 2023, like, again, you heard it here first.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't say we didn't warn you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Don't stream it. We can't let that happen.
Oh my God.
Okay. All right.
All right, Kaya, wonderful. Finish us off here.
Rounding it out. So I have a question for Kate specifically, and this is related to this week. I watched several clips of Z-Way interviewing Chet Hanks.
Oh my yes.
Sort of against my will, but they just kept popping up and I just like the curiosity got the better of me.
Sure.
There's one, she confronts him about speaking in like
patois.
Patois that he likes to do. There's one where she asks him about White Boy Summer. The very worst one I saw where Chet Hanks apparently thinks that he could do a good Joker. And then I proceeded to watch like 3 minutes of him doing Joker impressions and it was
oh my God.
I totally turned my stomach. And Z-Way, her interviews are kind of built around like embarrassing people and like confronting people. So Kate, have you ever watched one? If so, how far did you get?
The answer is no, I've never watched one. So you said like, I saw them on my timeline and curiosity got the better of me. The difference is that curiosity has never gotten the better of me. Because like I knew that they talked about patois because I saw it on my timeline and I like read the tweets about it, but like I can't turn the sound on. Like I can't. I know my limits and like that is so far past my limits. So like I'm aware of her interviews when she does them and like I'll read an article about how like she embarrassed like Phoebe Bridgers or like, you know, made somebody say some like really stupid shit. And I'm like, oh, yeah, like that's her doing her thing. Like, great. Love it.
Good for her. Will
but
not be.
I have never willingly like actually turned one on with sound and watched it. I can't do it.
That's probably, like combust probably.
The whole concept is like to make white people cringe and feel, and like, that's great. And that's an important thing that people should do. Like we deserve that.
You just will not be turning the sound on.
Yeah. Like as a concept, I fully support it. I just like, I would simply die. And I've never even been tempted. I've never been tempted
to
watch it.
I think like a torture chamber for you would be literally to, like, put
yeah,
not even to
like be interviewed by her. Like most people, are like, oh, I would never want to be interviewed by her. Not that. Like I just can't watch it. That would be like the main torture. Would be me cringing watching other people
for all
Hanks
eternity
impersonating the Joker. Ooh, was like pretty bad.
That's my nightmare. First perspective. But thank you. I see. This is what I like. I like when people tell me what happens on those interviews. So then I know, but I don't have
to
engage.
You're informed, but you don't have to personally
witness. It's like how I read the Wikipedia of like horror movies.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. This is smart.
This is how I engage with my limits for content consumption.
Totally.
All right. I think that's all we got this week. Kaya, thank you so much for filling in.
Oh my God. Anytime. It's always so much fun.
Amazing.
I'm only slightly sweaty.
Great. That's what we strive for at the end of any given Tea Time episode. Thank you to Kaya for filling in and producing. I'm Kate Hallowell.
I'm Kaya McMullen.
And I'm Amy.